You just sprung a big leak. It's a good thing you didn't sink it. I sunk my car.
We have some good times down there. I went and talked with Dad yesterday at the hospital, and we were talking about that. And, you know, we've got several photo albums over there. You know, a lot of memories. A lot of memories. I wish we could still do things like that, but, you know, just, I don't know, time just takes it out of you, I guess, and you just get tired, and I don't know, just memories, and we was laughing about that yesterday, and just thought it was funny.
Absolutely right. You do have the memories, and it is one of the expenses of getting older and getting wiser. If you want those two things to happen, you can't be so daredevil. And maybe, you know, maybe just have so much fun. I don't know, to be raucous in a sense is, you know, that's, I think most people would define raucous as having fun. I've never been very raucous. Never had a whole lot of fun. But I got older and I got wiser. And, you know, there's something to say for that.
Raucous. If that's how you pronounce it. I've never in my life been in trouble with the law other than a speeding ticket or two. But I just was always into mischief, you know, some kind of mischief all the time. And it usually involved a four-wheel drive vehicle or a tractor or it's something, you know. And just, Dad just, you know, constantly was, you know, he would look at me. Sometimes we'd be working out in the shop and I'd get distracted with this or that and he'd be working on a job and I'd look across the shop and he'd just be looking at me and, you know, I just remember thinking a couple of times, why is he looking at me like that? And, of course, when I had my own kids and, you know, I got two boys, I caught myself one day, you know, looking at them like, and I knew then what my dad was thinking because what was going through my mind is, whose child is this? And what is he doing? You know, you don't really say it as a father. You just kind of think it, you know, one of those things.
I heard some comedian. I hope I can get this out. You may have even, it's a famous line, and you may have even heard this. But they were talking to their son, and he says, I can't believe that you came from my loins.
I'll tell you a good one, talking about my boys. I love all my children. I'm proud of all my kids. But my two boys, man, I'm telling you, you want to talk about being in something all the time growing up. Just, you know, every gray hair I've got on my head, they're responsible for every single one of them, I'd like to add, every single one. So, one year when they were growing up, they loved to go camping and hunting and, you know, out in the woods, you know, doing something all the time. So we'd always go camping on the river up there where the deer camp is now. And they loved it. They called it surviving. We'd go surviving. Well, one year, they got on a big kick of watching Bear Grylls, the survival show with Bear Grylls. You know, he goes out and, you know, hour-long TV show on how to survive. So, let me let my radio drop. After episode, we'd been camping, I don't know, four, five, six times that year. This particular episode, Bear Grylls gets dropped off out in the desert. And he's, you know, doing desert survival. You know, how do you survive in an arid environment? So, you know, first thing he did was he took his underwear off and put his underwear on his head to keep from getting his head blistered. And about day four, he run out of water. So he takes his canteen and he pees in the canteen. And the two boys are watching this, and my oldest turned around and looked at me and said, "Daddy, you didn't tell us that you could drink your own urine. You never taught us that." And I tried to explain to him, "Look, you know, you do that if you have to. You don't make a practice of that. You know, you just don't do that unless you absolutely have to." Just went by, and it was Lewis's birthday, so he wanted to have a bunch of friends out here. So we had, if I remember right, we had about 35 kids out here with the parents, too, now. So they broke off into groups, you know, and they had these little, you know, their old survival groups with sticks and, you know, clubs and this, that, and the other. So we're all parents, and we're sitting on the porch looking out across the pasture, and we see Lewis's group come across the pasture. And it's seven or eight boys, and they've all got underwear on their head, walking across the pasture with their sticks. And we are just laughing up a storm, you know. So about an hour or two later, they come up, and we had the birthday gifts and, you know, time to blow the candles out on the cake. All the parents are, we're around the dining room table in here. And, you know, got the candles lit on the cake. And I see Lewis come out of the playroom, him and Perry. And they've got these Solo cups, these translucent Solo cups. And I'm looking at Perry, my middle son, and he's got this Solo cup, and he is twirling it in his hand, looking down in the cup. And he takes it, and he puts it up to his lip and just downs it. And he just would not believe the expression on that boy's face when it went down his gullet. So Lewis takes his and brings it up to his lip and tastes of it and just made an awful face and said, "No, I'm not doing it." Over to the table, and I said, "Lewis, what is in the cup?" So I look down in the cup, and it looks like urine. And I said, "Son, I said, please tell me that's not your pee in the cup." And Lewis says, "No, sir, it's not." So I looked at Perry, and I said, "What's in the cup?" And he said, "Pee." And I went back to Lewis, and I said, "Did you just lie to me, son?" He says, "No, sir, I didn't." He said, you asked me if that was my pee in the cup. And he said it wasn't. He said, "I peed in Perry's cup, and Perry peed in my cup. And we just wanted to see if we could, you know, try it." And Perry did, but Lewis didn't. And I was shocked. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So we told that story on the night Lewis got married. And the night of the pee drinkers is what we call it. So it's just, I guess you just had to be here. But it was kind of funny.
Well, all I've got to say is that I missed something not being a dad. I must probably missed a whole lot of something, not having children. But, well, the big positive here, I'll try to put a positive in on this, is that in order to have grandchildren, you have to have them first. And I know you're looking forward to that first grandchild. And so, it will be worth it, yes?
We can't wait. Anna's looking at baby clothes today. And we're, you know, talking about that. You know, nobody said anything about, you know, grandkids yet. But Lewis has made the decision. You know, he's in his senior year of college. So he has made the decision. He called me the other day and says, I am going to summer school, and I am going to finish my degree this summer because I'm tired of this school mess, and I'm ready to get on being a husband. So he's getting it. So I figure when he finishes up school, I guess it's I'm hoping it's grandbaby time because I am ready.
Well, yes, I guess that is part of what he meant by getting on with being a husband. Yes. And I have thought of the movie that line came from. If you recall the sheriff in Smokey and the Bandit, part of the chase, he had his son with him in the vehicle, in his squad car. And you know what happened to that car? I know you've seen that movie, Chad. Don't tell me you haven't seen that movie. But anyway, Jack Gleason played the sheriff, and that was his line. He was not very fond of his son. He was a little dull, a little dense, you know, and didn't catch on real well to... he wasn't my favorite character in the movie. Everybody picked on him, you know. But this is... He just would do stupid thing after stupid thing. And so Jackie Gleason's line was, I don't care what your mama told me, I can't believe you came from my loins. Yeah, KK4JBQ.
I've seen Smokey and the Bandit several times. I wanted to be the $6 million man and drive a Trans Am, just like on Smokey and the Bandit, with, you know, the little eagle, gold eagle on the hood, with Burt Reynolds. So, I've seen it several times, and it's a pretty good movie in its time, I guess. But, I was watching one the other night. Mel Tillis. I had heard Mel Tillis over the years. I thought he was a singer, and maybe he was, but he was on the Lawrence Welk show on this YouTube video I was watching, and he was a rather funny comedian, actually, and they've got a... He was telling the story of their original film, I guess back in the 70s or 80s, called Foot Foot, told by Mel Tillis. And it's kind of funny, I guess. But Red Skelton, Jerry Clower. I like Jerry Clower. I like listening to him. You know, that kind of humor. He's a storyteller, so I kind of like listening to that.
Sir. Yes, sir. I do believe Mel Tillis was in Smokey and the Bandit as well. And, he was funny, but he was serious funny. Not jokey kind of funny. Interesting thing about him, when he's saying part of the script, when his speech is scripted, like on the movie set, or when he sings a song, and he is an excellent, had some marvelous country music songs during his period of in music. He never stuttered, but he was a stutterer, big time. Couldn't get out five words straight, and this was something that perked me up, perked up my ears, made me tune into the character, or maybe I'll put it that way.
Because when I was a child, I couldn't get five words out straight. I couldn't. I don't know what my problem was. But before I went into school, the sitter that we had, mom and dad both worked at cotton mill. Sometimes same shift, but most of the time it was opposite shifts, you know. So one would work days and one would work nights. So the house always had to be quiet. And gracious me, lived in a mill village, so I just took my joy in playing with all the kids in the neighborhood. Parents were not around. But the sitter was. Her name was Gertrude. We called her Gertie. And that woman taught me how to speak. And I will be forever grateful that she took the time.
That's how I talk with my Lord, just like you and me. And so nothing I say, myself and personally, will go anywhere at all. But the concerns that we have for people that we love, people that we know, even people that we simply respect, I think that goes a long way. I've heard some people say that you hold them up, sort of lift them to the sky. And I think that's
a Native American concept that you hold the spirit of this person to the sky. That's what I'm doing, and I will keep it up. You have yourself a good night, and it's been a pleasure. It really has. Say hi to Anna for me. And it won't be long till I call you Grandpa. KK4JBQ.
Okay. Tell Miss Donna we said hello. KO4 in UEM, clear.
BQ, clear.